You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And so we welcome you to the third and final installment in our series that we've been running. It's a Bible principle, principle number 15. Baptism is what we've been talking about this week. And Mfundisi Matambo joins us again on the line to talk to us as we are looking at what baptism is all about, why it's important, and of course, how you, my dear friend, can get involved in it. And we're going to be looking at some of the circumstances that one can then say, you know what, I did it, but I need to do it again. Can it be done again? That's our conversation today. Some of the controversial points that we practice baptism under today. We invite you to share your thoughts, your comments, be part of the discussion. Ask any questions you might be having on +27 73 470 3520. This is that rite of passage baptism that Christ then said, do this to fulfill all righteousness. So we've got Mfundisi joining us on the line to help us make sense of it all and to just come to terms with how it is practiced in the 21st century. Mfundisi, good morning to you once again, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning to you, Brother Derek, and also good morning to all the listeners.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi.
We find them well.
Oh yes, we are doing okay. Hoping you are fine too.
I am fine. I'm fine.
We praise
I'm
God
fine
for
today. I'm in that part of the country where it's hot. So
oh, you're not complaining of the cold today.
No, I'm not.
No, then we're grateful for that.
So we thank God, yeah.
Mfundisi, thank you again for being part of the series. And as we draw to the close, let's address some of those pain points that we find with how baptism is practiced. It's okay to say we do it biblically. We discussed the methodology in a previous session, but let's look at some of the circumstances. Apparently, people practice rebaptism. Can one symbolically die multiple times? Are we not crucifying Christ again, looking at the symbolism you taught us?
Yeah, thank you for that great question. You know, I've often come across such questions when we engage people. Mm-hmm. Over the issues of rebaptism, some tend to ask the question, can I be rebaptized when I was baptized? And why should I be baptized again when I was baptized already?
Mm-hmm.
Then we can go back to the scripture and find the biblical basis for rebaptism. Is there a point in the scriptures where rebaptism was necessary?
Mm.
So we go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, we are told that Paul, when he got to, when he reached Corinth, there were people like Apollos there.
Yeah.
Then we are told that having passed through the upper coast, I'm reading from Acts 19, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples there at Ephesus, we are told that he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
Mm.
And they said unto him, we have not so much as a head, whether be any Holy Ghost.
Mm.
Verse 3 then says, and he said unto them, upon what then were ye baptized? These people were disciples, but they had not received the Holy Ghost. It means being a disciple means they were already baptized, but they had not received the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
So they didn't even know what is the Holy Ghost. Then when they were engaged upon this subject, they said that we were baptized with the baptism of John.
Yes, yes.
Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Mm.
So these people had been baptized with the baptism of John.
Yes.
But they had not heard of certain things. There was certain information which had not reached them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So when they got hold of this new information, they were rebaptized. So rebaptism is biblical to a person who has not heard certain truths. Now, upon realizing that there is something that I have not been practicing or that I've not been experiencing,
mm-hmm.
even though I was baptized,
mm-hmm.
then it is necessary to be rebaptized. For instance, I'll give an example. You were baptized, but you were still probably keeping Sunday as the first day of the week, as the Sabbath day. Yet we know, I know probably you've already done this discussion or you're going to do it later.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we know from the scriptures that the Sabbath is the seventh day, not the first day of the week.
True.
So if somebody was baptized and has been observing or keeping the first day of the week as the Sabbath, when that person gets hold of the of this new information, they really need to what to be baptized again into the new truth which they what they now have. Yes.
Fascinating. I think you are clear, Pastor, and we understand this idea that if you were lacking in some way, shape, or form in terms of the information, or you were misbaptized, if there is such a thing, and so forth, then you need to do it in a proper manner. But the question comes through: yes, when I was baptized the right way, to the right name, with the right information, but maybe I faltered in sin, why am I being rebaptized when Christ already died? Are we saying the first death of Christ was insufficient for me?
Yes. In those cases, I do recommend a lot of things with such kind of people. It is the depth of your depth of your experience with sin that you can make a judgment for yourself if you need to be rebaptized. It will be a personal decision that you should make depending on how you had gone far from Christ. Some people will come and say, Pastor, I've been so deep in what I've been doing, and I know I was a church member, but I lost my way so greatly. Please allow me to be rebaptized.
I don't
have a problem with that kind of a person because of... Yes, you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say, Mfundisi, thank you so much for that, because you're bringing it into the individual's court. It's a personal decision, is what you're saying. But can someone make that decision for me? Can a church, a body of believers say, if you look at Kenneth, he's moved far from God. Let's put him back in the water.
Only when the church had dismembered you, when they dropped your name, you can only come back through baptism. But if you come back by... There was no name dropping that had been done upon your name.
The problem, is it not? You're just saying it's a personal issue, Muruti. It's me and my relationship with God. But here I am. I know I faltered. I know I fumbled. But we recognize that when we baptize, you're no longer sinless. You fall, but you rise up again. Now, someone then says, no, that fall you did is so bad, we're going to have to put you back in the water. Is that not them determining how my relationship with God is?
That's why I said no one has the right to do that.
But the dropping of the name, I don't ever say in the dropping of the name. The church votes apart from what I want to say.
No. The dropping of the name. You know why the name is dropped? I think you should bring this to another discussion.
Yeah.
One of the days.
Yeah.
The name dropping happens when probably you've gone against the beliefs. For instance, you have married a second wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's against our belief.
That's fine.
So if we have to drop your name in those cases.
Why?
Then if you are to come back to church, then we have to baptize you.
Why? But like you're saying, for
we are dropping your name because you have denied the faith.
But isn't that what sin is? When I commit adultery, am I not sinning? When I steal, am I not sinning? When I do all the things Proverbs says a righteous man is falling seven times, is that not what denying the faith is?
I spoke yesterday and I said every other sin that you commit after baptism is a mistake.
Okay.
But marrying a second wife is not a mistake. It's intentional.
How?
You have publicly denied the faith. It's different from just committing adultery and coming back to God. But when you decide to marry, you plan the wedding arrangement. You plan everything.
But even adultery, Muruti, when I am planning to go to that motel and run away from my wife, I am planning those things.
Yeah, but you can tell us that I just fell into it. It was a mistake. But now when you sit down to plan a lobola, that's a different
thing. It's more calculated and lengthy. I hear you. I can't wait, Mfundisi, maybe to have that other conversation so that we can unpack this one much, much deeper. And we will definitely invite you to that one as well. But maybe as in the same vein, talking about deciding for others, here comes my five-year-old and say, I want to also get baptized. They see the baptism ceremony. They also want to get baptized. Who am I to say no? Can we allow that child to go into the water? Or maybe me as the parent says, I want my child to be a part of the Church of God. Can I bring them to be baptized?
There's a problem now with children.
Okay.
Let me categorically state it. The problem with baptizing children is that children they are still indecided.
Okay.
They are still suffering from indecision. They don't know how to decide. They need to be guided in decision making. You know, we can only baptize people. I think you are going to discuss it. One of the questions probably that you are going to bring up. But we only baptize people who have accepted Christ personally. We have made a decision to accept Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
when we say we baptize children, we need to give it. We need to keep it with edge. Which children are we talking about? A child we can baptize is a child who is now able to decide for themselves, who can be able to make independent decisions based on faith. For instance, Jesus was arguing with the seniors, with Pharisees and other people, the leader, religious leaders in the church when he was about 12 years. You know that. And they were busy. They were marveling at the wisdom that was coming from him at the age of 12.
Yeah.
So in the Seventh-day Adventist church, we recommend that at age 12, a child is able to reason logically, to reason and make sense with the gospel. And we can say that child is able to decide on his own. Because we have a biblical basis for this. When you read Acts chapter 8, there is an Ethiopian eunuch there, if you still remember the story.
Yes, yes.
Who is traveling from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia,
mm-hmm.
and is in his cart, and he's reading in his chariot. He's mm-hmm. reading from his Isaiah, and the Bible tells us that he did not understand what he was reading until the Holy Ghost had to fetch Philip from somewhere and brings him near the chariot, and then Philip starts to walk beside the chariot. Then Philip asks the Ethiopian eunuch, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he says, "I don't." Unless someone explains to me. Then Philip begins to explain. You read this in Acts chapter 8. He begins to explain what the eunuch was reading. And then it gets to a point whereby he said, "Here is water. Why can I not be baptized?"
Yeah, yeah.
Then Philip says, I want to quote the exact words of Philip. Philip says, "If thou believest with all thine heart," that's verse 37, "thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So it was after some learning that the eunuch had to believe by his mouth. He even declared that Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you baptize a child who is probably a year, who doesn't even talk, who is 2 years, doesn't even know who Christ is, you just baptize them. They have not believed in anything. They don't even know. They can't even confess with their own mouth that Christ is the Lord. But tell me of a child who is 12 years old. I understand. I understand. Yeah. We can baptize that child.
Yeah, but 2 years old, that might be too much. That might be too much.
So those ones, we dedicate them to God. If a three-year-old child or four-year or five-year-old child comes and says, "I love Jesus," we know he has been moved by what he has heard, but he doesn't really understand what's going on. So we just dedicate them. We pray for them. And we pray that God keeps them alive until a certain age when they can be baptized.
Question though, is that meaning we need to qualify for baptism? Is there a criterion, a prerequisite that one is to meet before they get to be baptized?
Yes, and one of the qualifications or the criteria is one that I've already alluded to. The fact that one...
Mfundisi? Ooh. Pastor's network dipping a bit there as we are having a discussion. We are chatting with Pastor Kenneth. Yes, Mfundisi, welcome back. We had lost you for a second there. Ooh.
Hello?
Hi, hello? Pastor. Maybe try moving around because we're losing you now.
I think somebody was trying to call. So
oh, okay.
I'm stepping my call. But anyway.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You hear me now?
Yes, you're loud and clear.
Yes. So I was saying that the first criteria is that one must have a personal belief in Jesus Christ. It must be personal. You know why? Because we are being baptized into discipleship. We become disciples immediately when we are baptized. Actually, before we are baptized, we start to form the tendencies of a disciple in us. And then we are baptized and we continue in that discipleship mode. So So one must first accept Christ, accept the teachings of Christ, live the teachings of Christ, make them part of your life. Then we can say, you are ready for baptism. Are you still getting me, my brother?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So I think with this, when you read Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it tells us that for you to have belief in you, as I've said, that one must first believe. For that belief to be upon you, you must read the scriptures. You must be taught the scriptures. There are principles that you are supposed to learn from the gospel, which build belief in you. And then you can finally say, I can be baptized now.
Yeah. I'm trying to speak to the issue of gatekeeping, to say who is responsible for saying, okay, no, Derek is good enough now. He can now go into the water. Because, I mean, I hear the message. I believe Christ. I accept him like the eunuch. And then I say, I'm ready now for baptism. Is it Philip who then says, no, you're not yet ready, my brother. Let's study some more. Or it's just me. When I say I'm ready, then because I'm of age, I'm ready to go into the water.
You see, that remains a controversial issue, that one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Nowadays, when somebody says, I want to be baptized, we usually immediately take them to water without even looking at many things, especially when you run a two-week evangelistic campaign, and somebody, you make a call and a person comes forward and says, I want to be baptized.
Yeah.
We assume that these 14 days they've been here listening.
Yes.
They have managed to understand what we are talking about, and they've given themselves to Christ. Truly sure, we baptize them without even examining how they are living out there. These are probably people we are meeting in the evening alone. Mm-hmm. I'm just seeing this person in the evening.
Yep.
But during the day, I don't even know how they are living. But based on their own confession that they want to be baptized, we simply take them to the waters and we baptize them. It is okay. But you see, we have realized that many people who come to church or who are baptized into the church through that way, we tend to have problems in the future unless they are strictly discipled.
Okay.
Back then, the church used to, even if you decide that you want to be baptized, the church will still say, no, attend the baptismal class for probably a year. You spend a year attending the baptismal class, Sabbath in, Sabbath out, Sabbath in, Sabbath out, and you are learning all the principles again and again and again and again until such a time they say you are now okay. But nowadays, I don't know, maybe because we are chasing up numbers, we just baptize people, and we end up seeing some of them backsliding as well. So I think the old way is the correct way.
Is there room?
Having people stay. Yeah. Mm.
Is there room, Fundisi, for saying, okay, fine, during the 14 days since you've committed, let's baptize you, but you then continue with those lessons that you were saying in the baptismal class and so forth for that 6 months?
That is what we are actually encouraging our church members to do.
Okay.
When they are baptized after those 14 days, we again want them in the baptismal class to again go through the lessons. We have actually now, here in Zimbabwe, I don't know in South Africa, we have now actually come up with a record card, a baptismal record card. Mm. It has all the lessons that you are supposed to learn before you are baptized. So even if you are baptized in those 14 days, after those 14 days of preaching, and you are baptized, when you go back to the church, you have to attend all the lessons that on the record card, and every lesson that you attend must be signed by the tutor of that day. When it's signed, when you have completed the entire card, now you can get your baptismal certificate.
I hear you.
That's how we are doing it.
No, I think that's a beautiful way. But maybe let's wrap it up like this then, Pastor. And thank you for that clarity you're raising, to say that there's these nuances that are there, and we want to make sure that people are, because I mean, the commandment was to not just go out there and baptize people, right? It was to train them, to make disciples of them.
Yes.
So that's the condition of it. I wanted to say the last one then comes through where we go back to our first question in this session today, where we addressed the issue of rebaptism. And you said one of the issues that come through is the issue of the name being dropped from membership, that when you want to re-enter membership, you need to go through the waters again. And that's where the challenge comes through, to say, when someone says they want to get baptized, are they looking for the church or are they looking for Jesus? Is baptism a baptism into church membership or into Jesus Christ as an entry into accepting him? And how do we differentiate between the two? Can someone say, I want to just be baptized for Christ, leave me and your church, I don't want any relationship? Talk to us. How do we balance the two, and which is which?
You see, I believe that when we are being baptized, we are being baptized into Jesus.
Ooh, Pastor might be getting another call there. His line dropping again. As we're about to wrap up our discussion today, we are looking at some of those controversial points around baptism, right? Trying to understand when people get rebaptized, children baptism. You're talking about people being banned from being baptized or being gatekept. No, you're not ready. Go back to the waters or go back to class until we let you know when you're ready. You know, and you're like, how? But I thought it was me who chooses Jesus. You know, and then we're trying to understand it all. And Mfundisi is taking us through all these points now as we are wrapping up. We want to understand being baptized into the church as opposed to into Christ. Is there a difference? And Funis is taking us through. I hope he's back. Pastor, do we have you back?
Yes.
There we go. Yes, you were talking to us, Funis.
Yes. I was saying, being baptized into the church, you know, when people are being baptized, they are being baptized into Christ.
Okay.
Into a fellowship with Christ. But you see, we know that Christ is a church. And Christ left a church, and that church is the body of believers who believe in Christ and adhere to certain teachings. So when you want to be baptized, we will baptize you into Christ, but we are still inviting you into the membership of the church, and we expect you to abide by the principles of the gospel or the Bible doctrines, not church doctrines, let me say, Bible doctrines, beliefs that we believe that a Christian should adhere to, which are stipulated in the Bible. It's not just being baptized into Christ and you go and live the way you want. You see now, that's a different thing altogether. There are people who have come and wanted our baptism as the SDA Church. We want your baptism, but we want to leave. We want to go back to our churches, and stay there.
Yes.
The truth is that we may baptize you, but it doesn't make any sense because, for instance, you've been eating pork there. That's what you've been taught, that you should eat pork. There's nothing wrong with eating pork. There's nothing wrong with keeping the first day of the week. There is nothing wrong with having two wives. And you come and you want baptism, and you go back to your old life, then what's the point of that baptism? It's not making sense, because we are being baptized to become a disciple of Christ, and Christ has got this standard. Christ has got truths that he wants you to adhere to. So you are being baptized into Christ and also into the body of believers who believe what Christ is teaching. That's what I believe.
Yeah. The body of believers. You can't say, I want Christ, but I don't want his body. Then how are you wanting Christ?
You see now,
indeed.
Exactly.
Indeed. Well, Mfundisi, thank you so much for your guidance once again as we go through this lesson, and especially for today's session, which was addressing some of those controversial points in the practice of baptism. Final thoughts, Mfundisi, as we wrap up our lesson today, but also of the series that we've been having this week.
Sure.
Any final thoughts?
All right. I'll just say, as I've said yesterday, that if there is anyone out there who is contemplating baptism, it is the right thing to do. And most people fear that. I can even advise people that get baptized if you truly love Christ. Mm-hmm. Get baptized and learn more about Christ. Mm-hmm. You can get baptized and then continue to learn. But if you feel you want to learn first before baptism, then it's still okay.
Yeah.
But I advise you to be baptized. Don't contemplate. Don't procrastinate, because the devil is also stealing your time and also stealing the truth that you have received. So be baptized. Get baptized.
Amen. Amen. Get baptized.
Yeah.
And I think that is all that can be said. Mfundisi Matambo, thank you so much for your time again this week. May God bless you. May enlarge your territory and increase your ministry.
Sure. Thank you, Brother Derek. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And that's how we draw
to the,
bye-bye. That's how we draw to the close of this series. And I pray that it has been something that is edifying to you, blessing you. And we want to invite you to say, as the pastor said, my friend, this is one thing you want to get involved in. Get baptized.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.